Let's go back in time to 1932 as Converse brings you historic footage of the legendary original Celtics with whom all great professional teams are compared.
We have now taken over your radio.
Richie Guerin is about to show you the most important step in getting past a man. It's the first one.
And Oscar will inbound it. The men in green, the Milwaukee Bucks, that's Al Cinder against Bellamy.
Has Jordan. Allen shakes free. Gets two.
Gilmore.
Oh, big stop.
Oh,
brother.
Lead Toledo artist. You get 21.
4:28 to go in the first quarter for the Cal Palace. Here's Barry.
Jordan. Open. Chicago with the lead.
Hello, and welcome back to the Over and Back Classic NBA podcast. I am Jason Mann, and with me as usual is Rich Kraich. Rich, great to be back with you.
Yeah, it's been quite a while. We were big friends for a while there in the summer, and then we got distant in this early fall, but now we're back, so it's good.
Yeah, well, I missed
your voice.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, a summer fling, you know, there's no...
it was hot and heavy.
Yeah,
it was real hot.
It was, but there's no point in trying to, you know, keep it going, you know, that hot and heavy forever, because you're just going to burn yourselves out. We don't want that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But we're going to give this another try and see how it works. So our breakup's over.
We are, yeah. I mean...
I rebounded. You went on the NBA injury report.
I did.
Podcast. So you had your little rebound. How was that?
It was good. I felt satisfied by that experience. So
wow.
It was good.
So
yeah.
You don't feel sad. Okay.
Right. I mean, I'm sure that you and I, you know, we're just going to keep it slow.
No, you said it. You said enough there.
Okay. So. I don't want to hurt you, Rich. That's the last thing I would ever want to do. So we're back to the season has begun, and we've been watching basketball and enjoying it because it's something that we like to do. You should not be surprised that two people who dedicate a lot of time to talking about basketball will also enjoy watching it.
Yes.
Even basketball, we're not those people who like think like everything was better in like the 70s and 80s and 90s or whatever era you grew up in. We think the game today is played extremely exciting, better in some ways than others. All eras I think have their
merits. I used to be very much of like the old eras suck and like these guys, but then I've become a little bit more, and it's actually been a part of our, you know, the top 50, you know, the post top 50 discussion that we've had. You know, we posted our top 50 show, had, you know, for the most part people have been pretty okay with it. We've had some few people kind of argue here and there, and some of the stuff has actually been kind of fun arguments and like good level-headed arguments and that sort of stuff, which is fine. But at a certain point in my life, I just became of like, you know what? There's really no point in comparing like the guys of today versus the guys of the 60s. I mean, there's fun of doing that and all that sort of stuff, but you shouldn't, like, your enjoyment of today's NBA shouldn't hinder on like, well, Reggie Miller was better than like here or whatever. It's like, who cares? Like, you know, just that era is over. Move on. You had your memories and all that good stuff there. You can still think about it and talk about it and discuss and do all that sort of stuff. But your enjoyment of today's game shouldn't be lessened because of something that happened in the past or whatever. It's just as good as it's always been. I mean, the NBA in my mind is always evolving and always getting better. So for me, I still enjoy the game as much as I've always have, and maybe more than ever.
Yeah, for sure. So, and we've had some sad news recently. We've lost two stalwarts of the NBA world, pro basketball world. First, Flip Saunders, the coach and general manager of the Minnesota Timberwolves, longtime coach, I believe 20th all time in wins, you know, really influential and successful. Flip Saunders, he died about a week ago of complications from cancer, and that, you know, it's very sad. Obviously, he was just seemed like a guy who was really well respected and well loved by just about everybody. You know, players, coaches, media. You know, a guy who was you know well regarded both as a person and as, you know, as a professional.
Yeah, it's kind of cliche to say that, you know, like when someone dies or whatever, and you hear a bunch of interviews that like nobody has anything bad to say about a guy, or, you know, you hear that stuff a lot. But everything that I heard from people talking about Flip, people just mentioning stuff, and these are people that not strictly just NBA people too. There was there's a local radio show here in Chicago. And one of the guys that hosts the show, he used to work in the CBA or whatever. And most of his stories of Flip were back in the CBA stuff. And he was going on about, you know, just the different things that Flip would sort of teach him. And like he would do commentary for their game. games and then Flip would be like, hey, what do you think? Why do you think I did this? Or because like he would hear him criticizing him because there's, you know, like seven people in the entire audience. So you could probably hear the commentators being like, I don't understand that play or whatever. And Flip being like, well, why do you think I did this? And like, instead of just sort of arguing or doing that, sort of learning the game with them and just being a general, you know, just it seemed like that was just something that he was just great at. It's just a guy who loved the game of basketball. And if you were going to talk basketball, he'd give you the time of the day, no matter what it was. And that's really the stories I heard from everybody else, is that just, you know, if it was about basketball, it didn't matter who you were, what rank you were, what league, you know, it whatever. He was going to talk to you about basketball because he loved it so much. And you get that from his players as well, is that everybody, you know, he had his ups and his downs at different stops, especially, you know, like a Washington and Detroit weren't, you know, glowing examples of him, even though I think he did quite well in Detroit and, of course, in Minnesota. Washington, okay. But, you know, it's still at the end of the day, all the players, they all speak highly of him. Like, you really do not hear anybody say that they didn't enjoy Flip. And you remember that at the time, too, that nobody really had bad things to say about Flip when he was around as well. So that's just a testament to the guy and the character. And when you see that, like yesterday, I know the Timberwolves had like a tribute video, and you see that nobody, none of the players, none of the coaches could like stop crying. And like, that's how you know it's not just like a, oh, okay, we have to do due diligence. And you know, but these are guys that generally cared about him, and that's great to see. And it's just awesome. And it just sucks because he was a guy who, you know, we knew he had these issues. Then it seemed like he was getting better. And then, like, all of a sudden, very quickly, maybe about 2 or 3 months ago, we heard, okay, you know, he's going to take some leave of absence. He's not going to coach the team, you know, beginning of the year. And then it became all year. And then, like, a week later, it's like, oh, God, he's dead. And it's like, oh, my. Like, it seemed like it kind of came out of nowhere, even though we knew he had the issues. But, yeah, it's definitely sad news.
Yeah, for sure. And we also lost Mel Daniels, one of the greatest players in ABA history. He was a two-time MVP. Led the Pacers to 3 championships in 4 years and 2 other finals appearances as well during his time in the ABA. You know, was just, you know, a Hall of Famer. And finally in 2012 was inducted to the Hall of Fame, averaged 18.7 points and 15 rebounds. And had very similar playoff stats as well. Played very briefly in the NBA, only 11 games with the Nets. Otherwise, was pretty much all just only in the ABA. But one on the short list of greats in that league, and you know, we've lost too many. You know, relatively, he was 71, so he was older. But several players who, you know, were stalwarts in the 70s and 80s, and unfortunately have you know, passed us by after Daryl Dawkins and Moses Malone as well.
Yeah, it's been a bad year for like all ABA team guys. It's sad, but I mean, it's going to be unfortunately a reality of we're getting to that time now where a lot of these guys are going to pass and it's stuff, and it's just, it sucks because it's guys. But the good thing, you know, like we always say, when guys pass away, there's, you know, there's not really any silver lining. But like always, people sort of then go back and research and look at these guys' careers or whatever. And I saw that, you know, a bunch of people going, oh, hey, here's facts about Mel Daniels. Here's this thing about Mel Daniels. Hey, you know, Curtis Harris Rose, you know, things like that, which it's pretty cool to see. I mean, it sucks that it has to be a guy's death that makes that happen, but it's nice to see where people sort of then educate themselves on that player. You wish it could happen when they're alive, but it's a somewhat of a line, you know, a silver lining to an otherwise bad situation. But yeah, it sucks. Yeah. Too many deaths.
Yeah. So we wanted to touch on those before we got to topic of our show, which is looking at some of the looking at some NBA records or career leaders that are you know, in play, in jeopardy, however you want to put it. You know, you wrote a piece for this in the HP season preview, and you know, we're gonna talk more in depth on some of the things, just some of the subjects. So you know what kind of attracted you to this subject?
Yeah, so initially, and that's something we actually, not one of our first shows, but pretty early, we did something kind of similar to this where we looked at some leaderboards, looked at some things that could possibly be topped or whatever. And in thinking of different things, we had, of course, that Hard Paroxysm, you know, season preview was coming out, and people said, hey, do you have any ideas of articles to write or whatever? And this is something I really said, you know, that'd be kind of fun to kind of look at, and sort of didn't tell anybody yet, but sort of did a little bit of research. And then I realized there's a lot of records, and especially guys this year in particular, with guys like a Kobe Bryant, who we're assuming will retire at the end of the year, Kevin Garnett, who all assumption is that he'll, you know, obviously retire at the end of the year. And those two guys, I mean, you look at the number of records that those guys have a chance, and we're going to talk about here, to break, and leaderboards to top and people to pass and all that sort of stuff. It was like, man, it's going to be a long time before we get like that sort of confluence of talent retiring at the same time. And that's, you know, there's a few other guys as well that we're going to talk about that that have a good chance of maybe, you know, retiring or leaving pretty soon. So that was something that I just said, you know, I'm not going to have this chance again. You know, in 3 years, there's, I don't know who's going to retire that's going to make as big of an impact. Whereas these are like legendary, all-time great, you know, top, you know, obviously top 50 guys, both guys that we listen to are top 50. They're going to be retiring in the same year. And they just have so many leaderboards and so many things that they could, you know, top or records to set. So I thought it'd be interesting to kind of take a look at them and see, you know, how many they can and what records it is that they're potentially in danger of beating or topping or whatever. So
absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, we're coming off the other day, LeBron James scored his 25,000 points. He has passed that milestone. 25,001 at the moment we're recording this. So, you know, he's on the way to he's 20th all time in scoring. That number is obviously going to go up pretty significantly. We'll kind of get more in detail on that a little bit later on the show. But, you know, first we have games.
Yeah, and just a quick note for people that are listening here, because there's no perfect way to do this because we're going to be recording while games are going on or whatever. Most of these numbers are going to be as of like opening night or whatever, of before opening night, because there was just, that's when we ran a lot of the data and that's when we started looking at this sort of things. There's going to be no perfect way. We could record this podcast right now and, you know, Kevin Garnett's minutes are going up as we speak. So in case you're like, no, I saw the other day that his minutes and his games are like this or whatever, like these are beginning of the year stuff. So we're going to try to estimate based off that beginning of the year. Just a quick note in case people are listening and going, wait a minute, no, that's not true. Or, you know, just think like that. So just a quick little note there in case. So this is all of opening day because
only four or five more days of data, really. So, you know.
Exactly, yes. Right. So it's not a huge deal. So it shouldn't sway it tremendously. But in case you're like, that's not the right number, like that's why. So,
yes.
But games is obviously the first one. For people that don't know, I guess, is it a surprise to most? Would casual people be surprised by this or hardcore people? I don't know. That the Chief is our number one games player.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wonder.
I mean, I would think he would be in the conversation. I mean, he might be just somebody who's sort of been, not exactly forgotten about, but sort of just diminished with the passage of time. You know, like I think people might think Kareem first because, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's who I assume. Actually, I forget all the time that Robert Parrish is. I always just kind of think it's Kareem because it's Kareem. Like, it's not. It's Robert Parrish. It's the Chief. So that's pretty good. But the active leader, a guy we're going to mention plenty of times in here, Kevin Garnett, is at 1424. Interesting, because so with all these, we're going to kind of look at the guy and then we're going to think, you know, can they break it? And sort of hypothetically, Garnett, it's possible, but it's kind of unlikely. You know, he's averaged between 47 and 50 games played over the last five seasons. He's just not been healthy these past few years. Even in a perfect scenario, it would take him a few years. So in case, even if Kevin Garnett goes, you know what, screw it, I want 3 or 4 more years in the league or whatever, maybe then he could do it. But even then, it's gonna be really tough. I don't see a scenario where Kevin Garnett ever passes this, but it'd be nice to think. But
yeah, I mean, if he played 3 full seasons, like 80 games each season, then yeah. But other than that, like you said, if he played 5 more seasons, but yeah, that's not gonna happen. I mean,
it would have to be him just being absolutely ridiculous and just going, you know what?
Yeah,
no, I'm not leaving.
Yeah, you know, I do kind of like the place where Garnett is now, like in that. We kind of acknowledge that Garnett's not really like any good anymore. I mean, you know, he is the kind of the defensive value and the coaching value, and you know, he can still have a highlight here and there. But I mean, he's clearly not. No one's expecting him to carry a good team to anything. And you know, if he can, you know, the circumstances have not put him in a place where he's going to be contributing to a championship team, but. You know, being the guy, you know, who having this sort of this mentor, you know, role in Minnesota where his career started, like it gives him a sense of purpose, especially, you know, in a situation, a very emotional situation for everyone in Minnesota after Flip Saunders dies. I mean, I do think there is some I think all these aging guys, I think it, for fans, you just kind of want them to be doing something that kind of matters. Like they don't all have to be on teams that are going for a title, but it's just nice for them to be like doing something that matters. And it feels like Kevin Garnett right now is doing something that matters.
Yeah, and that's been one of my favorite parts of watching Minnesota. Minnesota's a super fun team to watch this year as well. And you see different things. If you see guys in the court, and he's getting, you know, pretty decent minutes. And you're seeing when he's on the court, or I was watching, you know, NBA TV does their thing where they went into like the practices during, you know, training camp and preseasons or whatever. And they show Garnett, and Garnett is the most vocal guy. He's telling everybody what to do. He's grabbing guys. He's stopping practice to move guys to certain spots. Like, you can even see in the games, you know, he's there to pump everybody up, but he's there, you know, when Karl Anthony Towns, you know, makes a mistake, he's the first one to run over and tell him what he should be doing or whatever. And it's a really good thing to do. It's sort of, you know, the coach on the floor thing gets kind of thrown around a lot, but a lot of ways I see that. And especially, as you said, with the tenuous situation of Flip Saunders, you know, being, you know, presumed the head coach and then all of his issues or whatever, is that having a guy like Garnett there that's on the floor, that's telling these guys what to do, that I'm sure they all respect. I mean, Karl Anthony Towns, we have to remember, of his age, like Kevin Garnett, like he was young when that Kevin Garnett went into his prime or whatever. So having this guy and listening to him and knowing how smart he is at the game and knowing all this sort of stuff it's really cool. But I'm right with you. It's a really cool spot that he's in, and it's just a lot of fun to see him in that role where he's in a way kind of a coach, a player coach or a mentor, however you want to put it. But it's been really fun. It's been one of my favorite parts of watching the Timberwolves this year, is just him on the court. And it's so funny because there's, like, you know, 18 and 19 and 20 year olds or whatever, and then there's Kevin Garnett, and it's just like, you know, it's perfect. But a few other milestones we're going to talk about here real quick. These guys aren't, you know, in any danger of breaking Robert Parrish's record, but they have little, like, round numbers that they're pretty near as well, which is always fun, too. The 1,300 games club. There's 16 players in the club right now, including Ray Allen, who's exactly at 1,300, which is pretty fun. Kobe Bryant's 20 away, so you have to assume that he's probably going to get that this year. Just, in spite of any, you know, horrible injuries or whatever. Andre Miller, he's 35 away, and he also has the most games without an all-star appearance, which is very Andre Miller. That's like the perfect Andre Miller stat, isn't it?
Yeah. Andre Miller's, like, treasure to me.
It's like, yeah. Like, that's like the perfect stat. It's like, yeah, he played all these games and was really good, but nah, he wasn't that, you know, it's just, he was never at that, but he was always really good. It's just, he wasn't at that level. It's just, it's perfect, yeah, for Andre Miller.
He plays in a different era, and I bet he's considered better than he is.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you know,
yeah, certainly. Just especially because he plays like he's from a different, yes, era. Because he plays like he's from the 60s, so it works perfectly as well. Dirk Nowitzki, he's 35 games away, you'd have to assume, again, he's going to get that. And Paul Pierce is 50 away. I have a good feeling that Paul Pierce will probably break that too. So those are all guys that are going to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
As well, the 1,100 crew, you got Joe Johnson. He's 38 away, so that should be pretty easy for him. And then you kind of had a little bit of a side note, and I guess it was a discussion that we were talking about on Twitter a little bit as well, is that Joe Johnson might make the Basketball Hall of Fame one day.
Yeah, I this is a stretch. And I'm not saying that I think Joe Johnson deserves to make the Hall of Fame, but I think Corbin Smith brought it up. This is kind of crazy idea that, you know, Joe Johnson could be a future Hall of Famer. But, you know, he has seven all-star appearances. Like, he is, like, you know, you look on the list of guys who have at least five all-star selections, of guards who have 17-4-4 in their career and have played 15,000 minutes. And there are 32 guys on that list. And I think, you know, we're looking at all but three of them are either Hall of Famers or very likely Hall of Famers in the future.
Yeah.
I guess Tim Hardaway, he's probably not. He'd be like the fourth, who I'm not sure if he's ever going to be a Hall of Famer. But Joe Johnson is, you know, he's right on, you know, he's lower on that list in terms of, like, win shares and stuff. So I don't know if he's really going to, you know, I can't say for sure, but I feel like the fact that he's even in that conversation or even, like, in that thought exercise is really interesting to me, because, you know, it shows you just kind of, like, that whole, like, you hang around long enough and, you know, you start to wonder, like, you know, what kind of value does that have? Because, you know, he was a really good player for the Hawks for a while. And I mean, he was deservedly an all-star. He was always kind of considered, like, underrated for, like, a long time. But you look, yeah, at, like, his career numbers, and they start to look like, hey, you know, okay, those are, like, you know, not an insane thing to believe, you know, that, you know, he could be Hall of Famer based on that. But he's obviously, like, well short of, like, the greatest players of all time or anything like that. But
yeah, right.
You know, but you look down and you look at, like, oh, the guys who are, like, very good, where it's like, oh, you know, kind of a coin flip. Like, yeah, you know, maybe.
Yeah, no, he's one of those guys where numbers, when it's all said and done, because of his longevity and because of, you know, his consistency or whatever, will be a guy who has Hall of Fame numbers, but at no point in his career did anybody say, hey, we're watching a Hall of Famer right here. Like, nobody in, like, 2007 was watching Joe Johnson and going, man, this is a Hall of Famer right here. Like, it just didn't happen. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see. It'll be a nice exercise, and especially to see what he's got left and how long he can hang around in the league, because, I mean, I don't see him hang around for, you know, that much longer, but I haven't really has he hinted towards, like, this is it for him, or like he's retiring anytime soon?
Well, no, I mean, he's not that old yet. I mean, he's 34 maybe. So, I mean, and it'll be interesting. Like, I wonder, I feel like he's kind of like a guy who's a definite candidate to get bought out and to end up like on a playoff team.
Yeah.
You know, and if not that happening this year, then certainly he's a free agent. You know, he'll go somewhere else next year, presumably will want to win, you know, probably end up on the Clippers or something. And I wonder, you know, if he makes a big run for that as like the fourth guy, if that helps him, you know, at all, if that, you know, changes it. But, you know, you compare like his numbers to like somebody like Gail Goodrich, and he's like, you know, like they're close to identical, or he's, you know, they're, you know, like he's kind of like close to that level, at least, you know, production wise, you know, whether he on the court is a different matter, but, you know, and Gil Goodrich is a Hall of Famer. So it's just, I don't know, that just, you know, made me, I felt like that was kind of, worth discussing, even though we don't have any conclusions. So.
No, absolutely. Move on to minutes played here. Career leader right now, of course, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So he does have that mark. Robert Parrish has the games, but Kareem Abdul-Jabbar does have minutes played. The career active leader is Kevin Garnett, of course. As far as can he break it or not, I'd say he has no, it's not going to happen. Sorry. Well, Kevin Garnett, he's got a really good chance of passing Elvin Hayes, fourth all time. And Hayes, famously, as we talked about many times in this podcast, exactly 50,000 minutes, sort of sideshow-ish E that he got 50,000. But hey, it works out anyway. But he has almost no chance of catching Kareem for all time. Kevin Garnett, he needs about a little over 7,500 more minutes to claim the top spot. And given that he's had that figure, or given that he's had about 8,000 over the last 5 years combined, like, again, it's a thing where Kevin Garnett just has to go nuts and say, no, I want five more years in this league so I can get the games and the minutes played record. Like, that's really the only hypothetical situation where he does that. But yeah, again, right on the top of that leaderboard, but no, he's never going to top Kareem. Kareem's going to be a tough one to really catch for anybody, but we'll see. There's time for a few guys, and we'll talk about some guys coming up later that might have a chance, but that's a pretty safe record for right now.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, the trend is obviously to play fewer minutes. So
exactly. I just don't know if any current superstar is ever going to get that, where they just play every single minute of every game. Like, it's just it's not realistic.
Yeah. That's a pretty amazing, you know, combined playoff and regular season minutes, because he played almost nine.
Yeah, you forget about the playoffs, too. He played like how many more seasons of just playoffs?
Yeah, he played almost 9,000 minutes in the playoffs. So, yeah, and he's up there in all-time playoff minute leaders. I don't think he's number one anymore, but I think he was number one up until recently. I think Duncan,
I think Duncan over.
So he's in, you know, it's just, yeah. We've talked about Kareem a lot before, but
good.
Just a remarkable thing. Just a remarkable record or a remarkable career that he had. But and another leader board position that he's on is all-time field goals.
This guy's something else, is Kareem.
Yeah,
you know,
well, stands,
share the wealth,
it stands to you reason know? If you're gonna have the most points, there's a good chance you're gonna have a high number of field goals. So
right, yes. So he's you know, obviously the all-time leader. The career active leader, you can probably get a safe assumption if you had a guess. Kobe Bryant is the career active leader in field goals. Can he break this all-time record? I don't think so. Even in career, in Kobe's prime, and I took his prime as like 2001 to 2002 to about 2010-11. I think that's pretty safe to say in terms of just his overall years of, you know, the post Shaq, a little bit of the Shaq era, and then kind of all the post Shaq era, and then into his, you know, championships, you know, with Gasol and Bynum and all that sort of stuff. So even through that, he only managed about 7,500 field goals, or about 752.8. Field goals per season. So he would need to do that pace, so match his prime pace for six more seasons, or just about six more seasons, to get the all-time leaderboard, or to get to the top of the leaderboard. That's just not going to happen anyway. Like, A, I don't think any team's going to allow him to take that many shots. Well, I mean, I guess if Byron Russell continues to coach the Lakers, maybe, but even then, like, I just don't see Kobe lasting six more years and taking as many shots as he did in his prime. Like, that's just unrealistic. So
no, that doesn't seem like, yeah, he's almost 4,000, or actually more than 4,000 field goals behind Kareem. So, yeah, that's probably not going to happen.
No, yeah, it'd be tough.
Yeah. Dirk is very close to 10,000 career field goals. He's only a handful away. So that's going to be he would be the 13th player to join that club. So he's going to be passing Dominique on the way to that as well. So good for Dirk.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, of course, other guys with the 10,000. Ray Allen needs 433 to get there. I don't think he's going to get there.
I don't think he's going to play again. So, yeah.
Yeah, so that's going to be tough for him to do that without playing. And then Vince Carter needs 450. I don't know if Vince Carter's getting that anymore. Maybe. I don't think so. And then, interestingly enough, and this is going to be a guy we're going to talk about here in a little bit more, but LeBron James, 9,000 career field goals. He is only 50 away from that mark. And he's only a little under 7,000 away from overtaking Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for that. And if you look at, you know, his LeBron's output or, like, you know, his average yearly output and over the last 5 years, he has a realistic possibility of doing that. It would take 9 seasons to do it. So I don't know if LeBron has 9 more seasons in him. I mean, at this rate, it seems very plausible that he does. But, you know, things happen when you get into your 30s, and especially when he's going to be into his late 30s. But,
yeah,
you know, he's got a real possibility of being one of the guys that does top that record, if anybody does do it in the modern history or anytime soon. But yeah. I it's going to be tough. I mean, he's got to keep up essentially the pace he's had for the last 5 years, you know, over the next 9 years. And I just don't know if that's plausible.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think he'll be, I mean, it's possible he'll be playing in 9 years, although he's had the back issues and he's, you know, the number of guys, even in today's, even with today's longevity of superstars, I think that would put him at year 22 in his career. So, which would be breaking insane, you know, coming close to breaking some records. So, he's obviously going to not be scoring the way that he did in his prime during that time. I imagine he'll start to be a little bit more of a distributor and a little bit less of a scorer as, you know, Love and Kyrie kind of take over some of that scoring responsibility, as things go along. I mean, you know, who knows? But that would be my guess. So, yeah, that's probably not happening.
No. Offensive rebounds. Now, here's one. Here's a chance here. So Moses Malone is the career leader, of course, and we talk about Moses Malone, you know, at length on this very podcast. The corrective leader is Tim Duncan, and now Tim Duncan can do it. So he, if we take his per-season offensive rebound average, it's 208 per year. So all it's going to take Duncan is 14 more years of that, and then he's good, and he's got the record. So, I mean, all Duncan has to do is play till he's 52, and we're good. So there it is.
There you go.
So,
that doesn't...
What's that, like 2021, I think? That's even later. It's like, 27 or something? It's some ridiculous, but yeah, I don't...
Yeah, he's 39, I think. So 13 years from today. Yeah. So, you know.
If anybody could do it, it'd be Tim Duncan. But I don't think so. So yeah, that Moses Malone is a freak of nature. That is the Cy Young record. No one is ever touching that.
Yes.
That's Cy Young's all-time wins record.
Right.
Like, just in no way. It's impossible. Like, it's just stunning how how in front of everybody else he is. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you have to explain the baseball references to people because they're not just going to get it.
Oh, that's true.
It's a basketball podcast.
Sorry.
So
they're going to be like, what the hell?
I feel like who's Cy Young?
Yeah, I forgot. Forget about that. But yes, you should know who Cy Young.
Well,
look it up.
Know, they might not know that he has 511 wins. So that's right.
He has many, many wins, and pitchers don't pitch that much anymore. So they will not have that many wins ever. So, no, that's not happening. But there's some little round numbers that people can do. Tim Duncan, 256 away from 4,000. 3,000 all-time. Tyson Chandler is only 50 away from 3,000 all-time. So Tyson's got a nice little career going, and we'll talk about him in a little bit. Dwight Howard, 142 to get to 3,000 all-time. And then Zach Randolph, 179 to get to 3,000 all-time. So those are all very realistic possibilities for every single one of those guys. So
yeah, exciting stuff. Yeah, Tyson Chandler's up a little bit. I mean, he's been around like it's long enough now, but he's a little bit higher up these career rebounding leaderboards than I kind of would have expected.
I didn't anticipate it either. Yeah, he was kind of a shocking name. I went, oh, geez, Tyson Chandler. Like, because he's got a good handful of years left in him.
Yeah.
That pretty fun. I mean, I don't know as far as like output and rebounding output. I'm not sure, but yeah, he's got a little bit of time to get up there in the records. I mean, of course, he's not going to brink like Moses' record or any of these other ones, but he's going to be up there for sure, and it's going to be fun to see.
Yeah, he'll be like in, you know, like the top 20, 15, you know, all-time rebounders, which is, you know, that's pretty good. We'll take that.
He'll be one of those oddities when our children are on this podcast talking about, like, did you know that Tyson Chandler's like fourth all-time rebounding? That's pretty cool. Like, you know, so that'll be, you know, when your daughter and my hypothetical son are doing this podcast that, you know.
Are they going to inherit our podcast?
I think so. I think that's exactly.
Yeah. I feel like that's it's a burden I don't want to place on our children.
Yeah, especially on your daughter. Yeah.
You know,
she's got high hopes.
A little bit after.
Maybe, my son's already a wreck, so I don't have a son, but I just assume that no matter what, it's going to be. So my son will do it. But yeah, your daughter hopefully will be doing better things.
With her, you know, let's see.
I would hope so. She will. Yeah. She will. My son is already doomed. So if I have a kid, I don't know anything, but we'll see.
We don't know. Anyway. We're assuming a lot right now.
We are. Yeah. Defensive rebounds. Current leader, Karl Malone. Active leaders, Kevin Garnett and Tim Duncan. I put them both in there. Garnett's only 88 away from getting there, so that's a definite possibility that he can get there. Duncan's about 506 away, so that's going to be real tough for him. Garnett, he got 24 defensive rebounds in just 5 games last year with the Timberwolves, so it's a safe bet that he breaks that record, you know, fairly early in the season. And I don't know where he's at right now. I haven't looked at the numbers, but I sort of estimated somewhere between games like 12 and 15 if he uses, you know, if we go by his normal pace, is about where he would get it. So it'll be definitely pretty cool. And then Tim Duncan, I mean, he has a very good chance of getting to second place next year, but it's going to be close. I mean, he's really going to have to keep up his same output that he's had for a while. But Garnett has a definite possibility of becoming the all-time leader in defensive rebounds. So that's cool. So that's one record that is at least in some, or one leaderboard rather, that's at least in some danger. So pretty cool.
Yeah, that's neat. That's not one I necessarily would have expected. I wonder if Duncan will end up with more career defensive rebound than Garnett does. Like, I kind of feel like,
yeah, like all time
he'll have a couple extra seasons, maybe, you know, because he's still really good and Garnett obviously isn't. So he's going to play much more than Garnett likely is over the next, you know, season or two. So it'll be interesting to see. That we can continue the KG Duncan rock and on a very low level, but you know, it's still fun to pit them against each other. So I'm sure they're really caring that much about it. I'm sure they're watching the defensive rebound leading.
Yeah, going, I got him. I got him by one. I got six.
And Duncan's like, I got to catch up with them, you know?
I would hope so. I would hope if they're
yeah.
If they're true they competitors, they would.
Indeed, yeah.
I think that.
I'm sure that, you know, Garnett and Duncan are not true competitors, obviously. You know?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, they've not demonstrated that at all in their career that they're true.
No, especially Garnett. It's just, come on.
Right.
Act like you want to win. I mean, come on.
Right, exactly.
Like, just loafing through every defensive. Come on. It's going here. Turnovers. I was actually surprised by the 1 and 2 in turnovers. It's Karl Malone and John Stockton, and that's probably just a byproduct of them having the ball in their hands, like, literally 100%. Like, of those two, like, every Utah possession for about 20 years was them two. At one point, either passing the ball or possessing the ball. So it stands to reason. But yeah, Malone is the career leader. Shockingly, the career active leader is Kobe Bryant. So can Kobe do it? Jason, what do you think? If there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah. So, but, yeah, I don't think that Kobe's, because he would have to average, like, he would have to have like his peak numbers over 2.5 seasons. So yeah, I don't think Kobe's lasting that long, especially not in a way in which he's gonna be playing all the time and
or possessing the ball as much as
he still
we're talking about prime years where unfortunately this year
still
we keep
the
saying
ball,
this but
just the same amount, yes, but
we keep saying that, but then this year he's taking, you know, 51 shots and making, you know, 10 of them, but he you know.
Yeah.
Keep shooting. Gotta shoot out of it.
Yeah. You know, and I, you know, we talked a little bit before about Garnett, you know, being a guy who, you know, at least has a purpose, even though, yeah, he's clearly not seeing his best days. You know, at least he's like kind of in a place where he's contributing something. And I want to see that for Kobe. Like, we make some jokes about Kobe and, you know, we laugh about, sort of how he's looking washed up, quite frankly, right now. But I really do want to see like Kobe go out in a way in which, you know, it's like, you know, it doesn't feel sad. And right now it feels sad. And I'm hope that, you know, whether it's a change of style of play, maybe even goes to a different team, although I know some people would be horrified by that, you know, but maybe just something different where he can kind of go out in a more meaningful way than he's going out right now. I would ideally like to see that. I don't know about you. I know you're kind of a late hater, but.
Oh, no, but, you know, it's still, at the end of the day, you still don't want, like, you know, a legendary player to just go out on a complete whimper. And he's a laughing stock right now. And the Lakers are a laughing stock. And Byron Scott and all that. Everything that's going on with the Lakers right now is, like, laughable. And that's, I mean, you don't want the guy's career. I mean, you definitely just do not want that. And you know, as somebody who, and of course, like Michael Jordan's a famous one, you know, of course, who ended his career on like the perfect note of, you know, hitting the shot over Brian Russell, winning the championship. And then he comes back for those Wizards years and they're fine, but it's just like, it always feels kind of awkward and weird or whatever. And that, like, there's just those all time, you know, legendary players, and you see they're on like, you know, bad teams at the end of their careers, like, you know, another baseball thing, like a Willie Mays on the Mets and those sort of guys. And there's plenty of NBA examples as well. And it just, you would like Kobe to, even if it's in a Lakers uniform, for it to at least be a somewhat competitive season. Cause yeah, him just, you know, taking 20 shots a game for a team that has no chance of winning, I mean, that's not fun and it's not exciting. And it's not, nobody wants that. Like, we want something special out of his last year. And it, right now it's just, it's not looking very good. Yeah, so no, even though I'm a Laker hater and not a Kobe, you know, Kobe's biggest fan. No, it sucks to see him go out this way. This is just not a fun way to end it.
Sure. Yeah. And speaking of Kobe, he is one of the all-time scoring leaders. He passed Michael Jordan last year. And but, you know, there was talk a couple of years ago of him trying to break Kareem's scoring record. And, you know, he's almost 6,000 points away. And, you know, even if he were able to kind of maintain like his prime production, it would take 3 seasons. So
yeah, it's gonna be tough. It's not gonna be tough.
It's not gonna happen. Yes.
Yeah, it's just, and that's prime. Efficient, super efficient Kobe. I mean, that's 81 points a game. You know, put the Lakers on his back, score 30 a game, Kobe. Like, that's not happening. Like, that's just
81 points just in one game, not a game. Yeah. You know, so.
Oh, sorry. Now, that would be impressive.
Yes, that would be good.
He's trying this year. If he would just make his shots, he would get there.
But, 81 shots a game, maybe.
But yeah, another name, you know, we mentioned LeBron as an interesting case for a few different records here, but overall points, he currently sits at 20th all time. He's a little over 13,000 away from Kareem for number one. You know, if we at least assume that he keeps up a somewhat of a similar output that he did with his first year in the Cavs. So what I did is I looked at, you know, his rookie year where he was still kind of, you know, kind of getting there. He wasn't the crazy efficient scorer. He wasn't his prime. If he does that for 8 more seasons, he'll have the record. So if he can just be as good as he was his rookie year, he'll have the record. Even if he dips to career low in points, it'll take him about 8.5 to 9 years to do it or whatever. So it's... You know, he's only 30 right now. You know, we're talking about some injuries, and, you know, obviously his back is an issue, but, you know, he's, you know, 8 or 9 years away from kind of just sort of being the somewhat of the similar output you're doing now. It's a possibility, but I mean, it's tough. It's going to be real tough to do. It's just the minute load and the usage and all that sort of stuff is just, it's going to decline. I mean, it just has to, especially when we're talking, you know, he's going to be 39, 40 years old. I mean, you just cannot imagine LeBron, you know, scoring 23 a game when he's 40. Like, that's just, it's hard to believe. And I just don't think it's going to happen, but he's an interesting one to keep an eye on for.
Yeah. I mean, I think number two is certainly in play. Definitely number three. He would pass Kobe in that case. Malone has almost 37,000 points. Kareem has 38,387 points. So, I think Malone is definitely doable. I think he's, I don't know if I quite call it likely, but I think there's a good chance of him being number three all time, which, you know, which is amazing because LeBron, I mean, it's, he does so many great things so well. I mean, great passing, very good rebounding, just, you know, versatile, great defender. I mean, it's all these things. Like, he's not necessarily even, like, primarily known as a scorer, yet he is one of the greatest scorers of all time.
Yeah,
you know.
Oh, he's gonna be just such an interesting when his career's all said and done. It's gonna be like, you know, top five assist, you know, he's gonna be, you know, top five, top ten in like so many different categories. Yeah. It's just gonna be stunning.
I didn't have a chance to check it, but I think that he has a chance to become the first player to have 10,000 points, rebounds, and assists.
Yeah, we had somebody on Twitter that said, you know, I didn't get a chance to look at it, but somebody said that he might be the first to get 10K, which would be just insane. But it speaks volumes to what his career has been. So, you know, if anybody has to do it, he's a good one to do it. So nice little round numbers, 26,000. Only 13 players in history have achieved this. Tim Duncan's 26 away, so he might have actually already gotten that. I don't know what his scoring's been like this year, but he's probably already been there. I didn't hear anything about it, so I guess he probably hasn't. Kevin Garnett, he's 51 away. That's definitely possible or you know, presumed that's going to happen. And then Paul Pierce is 101 away. So we should have some new company in that crew and that guy. And then, yeah, that's going to be, I mean, all those guys are absolutely deserving. That speaks volumes to a guy like Paul Pierce is one that we, you know, in the top 50, we were talking about him, and some people took a little bit of issue with him being in our top 50 and stuff. But you look at the guy, I mean, he's going to be one of 16 players all time to reach that point plateau. I mean, that's significant. I mean, there's no other way around
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Yeah. Duncan also just passed the number of wins on a single team. And I believe that he and Manu and Parker just became the winningest big three of all time.
Yes.
So
that's... Go them.
Tim Duncan doing some good things. Yeah.
that's why this year is perfect. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's just so much this year, and that's why we're doing this, and why I think it was so important to write that for the preview as well. It's because it's just such a confluence of talent right now that's, you know, at the apex of their career or at the end of their career. We'll move on to field goal percentage here. Again, Tyson Chandler is an interesting one. Artis Gilmore is the all-time leader at 59.9. Tyson Chandler is right behind him. You know, if he can maintain his five-year field goal average, which is about 64.8, he'll break Artis Gilmore's record pretty easily. So if he can just kind of maintain what he's done the past 5 years, Chandler, he'll break that record. And what's actually pretty interesting is he only needs a field goal percentage above 61%. To take that crown, and then he's basically done that six times in his career and four times in the last five seasons. So pretty much from the time when Tyson Chandler kind of figured it out with the Mavericks, he's been that crazy efficient at scoring and that sort of stuff, or at the, you know, at field goal percentage. So, you know, there's a very, very, very real possibility that Tyson Chandler is your all-time field goal percentage leader. Of course, that's not as like a historically great, you know, of a stat or you know, it's renowned as all-time great or whatever, but that's still pretty cool for a guy that you never really would assume. It's kind of just Tyson Chandler, you know, like you don't assume that he's the most efficient, you know, scorer of all time in the NBA, but you know, he's very much there, so it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, the idea of Dwight Howard doing it, because he's definitely a candidate where he could, you know, if he averages, like, a 62% from the field, he could take that title. But the issue is that he hasn't reached that point since, you know, 2010, which was, you know, one of his best years in the league.
Yeah.
I do think that there is a small chance that Howard starts having less of a role on offense. So, you know, he's not getting the ball as much. He's not taking as many shots, but he would probably be more efficient in that role. If he's not, you know, if they're not really going to him in the post, he's just doing like kind of the pick and roll thing and just, you know, scoring on, you know, off of rebounds or off of, you know, basically not really, like I said, not using that many plays, but just, you know, whenever.
Being Tyson Chandler.
Right.
Being more like Tyson Chandler.
There you go. Thank you. Yes. right. I think that.
For a while, teams ran plays for him, and they said, you know what, Tyson, do a pick and then run to the basket, and we'll pass it to you sometimes. And then he went, okay.
Right, yeah. So I wonder if he kind of would reach that point. But then again, he might not have the number of attempts where, you know, he would kind of get to that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting with Howard just because of his health and the explosiveness is kind of gone. And he hasn't really shown yet that he can sort of transition to something different or transition to being, you know, a different player than he was, you know, in his prime. He's just sort of kind of trying to do the same stuff he did before, but just a lot slower with it. But yeah, he'll be an interesting one. I think he's a definite possibility to do it, though. I definitely see that. And it might not be, you know, next year or the year after that, but down the line as a guy who, yeah, I think you present a very good case that if he just sort of alters his game a little bit, has a real chance of doing it. So, yeah. Interesting to see. Free throw percentage. Career leader is Steve Nash. The career active leader is Steph Curry. And Curry has a very good chance of breaking that record this year. Curry only needs to average 90.9% from free throw, which seems high, but when you consider that last year he shot 91.4%, he can definitely do it. So that's all he needs. He only needs 90.9% to do it. I haven't looked at what he's done this year, but I think he's shooting that from the floor. So maybe I don't know how his free throws have been, but there's a good possibility that he might be able to do that. But it's definitely cool. It's a fun record too. There's a lot of current guys that are in that free throw percentage and a lot of older guys as well. But I don't believe Rick Barry's up there, which,
he's not. He's
but yeah, but no.
What? He's I'm sorry, percentage or
yeah, where's he percentage?
He's like fifth or he's in that range.
I mean, he's got the perfect free throw though. I mean,
yeah, I'm sure that if Steph Curry just did it underhanded, he could be even better.
He'd have 92% as opposed to 91 last year.
Right. So.
Oh, Rick Barry. That's our quota for the Rick Barry. Right. You still need to get a Hawks reference in though.
Okay, we'll work it out.
It's going to be tough. I don't know how many active leaders I didn't do 3-point attempts, which I'm sure Antoine Walker is very near, but we can try to do that. So, points per game, career average. Michael Jordan, of course, is the all-time leader. Just barely. Those Wizards years really almost did a number on that. I know that was one thing that people were talking about. Like, hey, Michael, like you're at the, you better start scoring a little bit more because Wilt, he was almost seeing that record to Wilt. But the career active leader is LeBron James. And LeBron James, he's fourth all time. He needs to average 33 points per game this season to beat out Michael Jordan. I don't think that's possible, but I would guess it's not possible. I bet it that it's not possible. But actually, what's worse yet for him is that he actually stands to lose ranking this year. If he averages 26.6, which is his 5-year average, he'll fall below the man currently in sixth place, and that's Jerry West. So he actually. LeBron for averages for a thing like this, he's probably going to plummet a little bit, and especially like you said, and we talked about in the segment before, as he sort of transitions to more of like a distributor, which I definitely see him doing. Yeah, it's a real possibility that he's going to fall on this list, and I don't think he's going to break Michael Jordan's record. That's pretty safe.
Yeah, that is a very safe assumption.
But there's somebody, yes.
Yeah, Kevin Durant, who is I don't think that people were – I don't know if people are quite, like, aware that, like, Kevin Durant is tied for fourth all-time with LeBron in points per game right now, career-wise. I mean, right behind Elgin Baylor, who's at 27.36, and then Jordan and Wilt are right at – very, very near each other at 30. So you with just very tiny percentage points, Jordan being ahead there. So – yeah, obviously we know that Durant's great. We know that he's one of the great scorers of all time, but the fact that he is that high up that leaderboard is, pretty impressive. Now, like with LeBron, it could go down a bit as he, you know, when he gets older and isn't scoring as highly, but you know, Durant still has, you know, 3 or 4 years of a prime to get through. He's 27 right now. You know, hopefully with good health. Obviously, that you know the foot issues have been were a problem for him last year. But presumably, if he bounces back and is able to maintain that, he's going to shoot up that leaderboard. I don't know if he's going to quite be at Jordan or Wilt level, but you know, especially with you know Russ also being a great scorer as well. But that's still darn impressive.
Yeah, third place is definitely a possibility for him. He needs if he averages his 5-year average, which is 28.7, he'll pass LeBron and Elgin Baylor for solidly third. So I think that's probably where he'll probably end up. But you know, like you said, there's a real chance that this guy, you know, continues averaging about 20 points per or 28 points game for, you know, I could see another 5-6 years of that for him. I mean, I don't see him really slowing down in that respect. There might be certain aspects of his game that does, but I mean that's a guy especially too, if he stays healthy, that you could see his scoring just continuing to do well, just because he's such a he's almost an unguardable guy. I mean, a lot of shots he takes, especially if he comes a better 3-point shooter and that sort of stuff. I mean, that's, you know, saying still a very good 3-point shooter now, but if he gets, you know, a little bit better at that, that's again, like he's a guy who I definitely think can just maintain, you know, really good averages scoring. So yeah, it'll be fun to see, you know, where he goes. But yeah, LeBron, I could see him slipping down a lot right now. Just a byproduct of what we know he can do in his game. So it's actually a testament to him as well that he will probably succeed a lot of that scoring and work on some other stuff. So.
Yeah, he'll probably be top 10 all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is, yeah, it's pretty good.
That's fine. Yeah. That's pretty good. Especially when you couple the efficiency that he had as well.
Yeah.
Coupled with the shots he was taking and where he was taking
the versatility.
And stuff. It's awesome. Yeah.
It's great.
Assists per game. Magic Johnson, the current leader. Career active leader, Chris Paul. And Paul would need to average 12.5 assists per game this season to break Magic Johnson's record. It's not impossible. That average has only been accomplished 13 times in history, though, the 12.5 assists per game for a season. It was 6 times by John Stockton, 5 times by Magic, once by Isaiah Thomas, and once by Kevin Porter. So I don't know. I mean, given the Clippers, I mean, there's a chance that Chris Paul could, but it's a rare feat if he does do it. But it'll be interesting to keep an eye out for him and his averages this year. But not likely, but possible.
Yeah, it is possible. I was just looking at what his career high per game. It's 11.6 per game, which he did.
Yeah, and that was one of those New Orleans years, right?
Yeah, and those were kind of padded. Mm-hmm. By although you know last year it was down to 8, but the two previous years was 10.7 and 10.2. So I'm sorry, this year so far he is in 4 games he is 8, so down a bit, but I mean it's 4 games, so that's obviously not necessarily meaningful. So yeah, that'd be interesting. That is pretty. Kevin Porter being on that list is.
Yes, I was kind of shocked. I was like, yeah, Johnson. Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, Kevin Porter.
With the Pistons, I believe, right before Isaiah came along. That was not a good team. That was like the 79 Pistons, the one that was really bad, I think, like 13 wins or something like that.
I think you're correct. Yeah, I think
much like the 2004-2005 Hawks.
There it is. Yes. You used a not good team reference to get to sneak the Hawks in there. Yeah, we only have two more to go, so it was going to be tough for you to do that.
It's going to be tough. I have some experience in this podcasting game. You know, I'm no rookie.
You're pretty good at this. So last two here. Player efficiency rating, PER. Current leader is Michael Jordan. LeBron James is the career active leader, or the current active leader. Can he break it? If he maintains his five-year average, 29, which is PER the past 5 years, he'll fly past Jordan, who's at 27.91, as mentioned. Really, the only way that LeBron doesn't become the all-time leader is an under 28.1 PER season. He did achieve that last season. But of course, that featured, you know, his early season slump, you know, his time away from the team for a little bit there. I don't know. I mean, again, with his injuries, there's a possibility of that. But prior to that year, it had been since 2006, 2007, since LeBron had averaged, you know, or averaged less than 26.1 PR. So I got to assume he does break this record this year, barring any big injuries or barring, you know, a complete destruction of his game or whatever. But by and large, I think he's probably going to get it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think there's definitely a possibility he gets it. I do think that, I don't know if I feel like, I mean, with all the, you know, with all the stuff we've already kind of talked about, I think there's a kind of an equal chance either way that maybe it just, okay, this is his standard now. He's still,
That's
kind of who he has become now. It's still really, really great, but it's not like the transcendent player that he was. It's just like, you know, it's a slightly less transcendent. I mean, still great in other ways. And even like Jordan in his 30s, even though he wasn't as productive, he was arguably a better player because he, you know, he did a lot of those things that don't show up in the box score, and LeBron might be the same way. So, I'm not sure if, you know, which, you know, PER, its strength is that it shows production, and it shows production kind of like on an equal playing field when it comes to, you know, pace and those things. So, I think there's a decent chance that LeBron's PER is lower because he's not going to be as productive, but I still think there's a chance he could be better because of some of the other strengths in his game, and because he's probably going to be on a better team this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we'll finish here with usage rate. Michael Jordan, again, is the all-time leader in usage rate. The current active leader, Dwayne Wade, interestingly enough. Can he break it? I don't know. He would need a usage rate at or above 34.5% this year to unseat Jordan. You know, looking at his career averages, it's a possibility, especially with this Heat team, but I don't see it as all that likely. Another guy, though, that's actually interesting enough, he's not the current active leader, but Kobe Bryant, again, that we mentioned, he only needs a usage rate at or above 34.8% to top Jordan, and he did that last year, and he's done that three of the last five seasons as well. And given the current outlook of the Lakers, he could probably do it this year too, barring major injuries or anything, or just a complete rebalance in the way that team's going to operate and their psyche and all that sort of stuff, or if he goes to another team or whatever. But you know, on this current Lakers team, you know, at the way he's doing it, he could do it.
Yeah. Carmelo, LeBron, Westbrook, and Durant also are all in the top 10 on this list. It's interesting that we have like a, you know, ball sharing pace and space era, yet we have all these guys who are like among the top 10 in all time in usage. That's sort of an interesting dichotomy to me. I don't know exactly what it means, but I think it's interesting.
Yeah, it's
you know, Iverson is on that list as, you know, basically all these 2000 guys, and then Jordan is number one, and then Dominique and George Gervin are 9 and 10. So, I don't know. That's
just a debate. Yeah, maybe that's a topic for another show.
Maybe. Yeah,
because that's interesting. Yeah, it's hard to unwrap there.
And granted, you know, the pace and space is a more, you know, last 3 year phenomenon, and these guys are obviously have, you know, accumulated their accolades in the early to mid 2000s when the game, you know, was somewhat different. So, you know, we haven't yet had time to kind of account for that, I guess. But anyway, yeah, I don't think Wade's probably going to be as much of a. I think his usage rate will go down because, you know, Dragic is there, and, you know, there's more mouths to feed there. And I don't think Kobe's going to play enough where it's going to where he's going to be able to catch it on that. But it's an interesting thought nonetheless.
Yep, absolutely. And that's it for this. So there's a bunch of other stats and numbers and all that sort of stuff that we were going to do. Of course, we can't do like a 9-hour podcast. And unless you want us to, then we will. But I mean, preferably pay us.
I'm not going to do 9-hour. I would have to be paid a reasonably significant amount of money to
do a 9-hour. Yes. So there's plenty of stuff to do, but that's it for today. But if you guys unearth anything else that you find or an interesting one that you saw or someplace, let us know at Over and Back NBA. We'd love to hear it because we're really interested in this sort of stuff, especially, you know, myself just really love kind of looking at this and doing this dive or whatever. So yeah, if you see that at Over and Back NBA on Twitter, let us know if you see it, or overandbacknba.com, our forums as well, is a good discussion point to do that as well. But yeah, that was fun.
Yes, definitely. And you can of course find us at harvardparoxysm.com. We are part of the HP podcasting network. You can find both the Over and Back iTunes feed and the HP iTunes feed on iTunes, of course, which, you know, we would love to subscribe and leave us a rating and review. That helps other people get to know what we're all about. And we, you know, of course, we're here to have people listen to us. So anything you can do to help us out on that would be greatly appreciated. And until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll be back again soon.